So, you want to know what on earth is happening? Then sit back and listen as this guy next door speaks. But first, here's a song to get us started.
I hope you feel this. You're hearing one of the realest. When I get up on the mic, I'm trying to kick it to your spirit, trying to spark something, trying heart to heart something. If I get up on the mic, it's cause there's something that I need to say. Meaning to say, there's something that I want to discuss. For instance, the Fed, printing money and such. We're all working for this money and it's worth nothing. How about we combine our efforts and try to build something? I'm sure you got a skill, something you could do. You could trade it for whatever you needed, and that's truth. We could grow our own food or build our own houses. Instead, we give away our time and get these from the middlemen. Who are these men that claim to own this land? Who stake the claim on the murder of our ancestors and built these cities on the backs of the stolen slaves? Men taken from their once sacred native land. Women taken as sex slaves to serve these men. These who wrote contracts that stand bound today when they were written in a language that the natives didn't understand. These are things I believe that we need to discuss. If you really want change and truth and such, we're gonna have to go back to the start, my friend. Imagine this, picture us with the ball. It starts with a couple driven people making calls. We start a movement, the fire spreads across. Then we pick a day and meet in all the city halls. Imagine people electing amongst themselves. Imagine if we did away with all the lobbyists. That, my friends, is the last thing they wanna see. But that's the only way we'd have a true democracy. Our leaders now don't seem to hear this voice. And when we vote, it's an illusion of a choice. A $1 billion puppet show where the main stars are handpicked and groomed by the CFR. So either way, the real powers don't change. And the election, it's just a PR campaign. Like the war on terror used to justify their deeds. Condone torture and get a Nobel Prize for peace. The president, the representatives, they need incentives and they don't represent me. Tied to strings that the people don't see. They serve a system that can only serve thieves. These are things I believe that we need to discuss. If you really want change and truth and such, we're gonna have to go back to the start, my friend. These are things I believe that we need to discuss. If you really want change and truth and such, we're gonna have to go back to the start, my friend. All across the world, pirates took over with the help of the WTO and Coca-Cola. They stole all the minerals and every source of water, then sold it back to the people for $1 a day, but not without adding little bits of poison, a little chemical gift for all the boys and girls. And in America, we're blind to what is happening. Most don't know about the GMO catastrophe. There are men making changes to our DNA. The mass experiment subsidized by the state. Instead of sharing the wealth with those starving, our taxes go to McDonald's cows and IG farming. So I'll be damned if my brothers don't speak up. We gotta do it for the future cause it needs us. Gotta do it for the earth and for the kids. This is the age of the microchips. These are things I believe that we need to discuss. If you really want change and truth and such, we're gonna have to go back to the start, my friend. These are things I believe that we need to discuss. If you really want change and truth and such, we're gonna have to go back to the start, my friend.
And that was Elias Clay with Things We Need to Discuss. And this is Ivan from Phoenix, and you're listening to Guy Next Door Speaks. This is episode number 10, and today is, or was, Sunday, October 4th, 2015. And the reason I say that is because today's episode is going to be a recording I did out in the East Valley of Arizona, of Phoenix, with a member from one of the meetup groups who goes by the name of Keith. And Keith is the young man whose family member, whose grandmother, was the spark, if we want to call her that, in the Mark Passio Q&A video, YouTube video that I uploaded back in June after a Streetwise Spirituality presentation. So today's show is just going to be a little chat I had with Keith, and this was done on location using a portable little audio recording device, and Unfortunately, the venue we were in, we were only able to stay in there for about 40 minutes, and we got quite a bit recorded in that 40 minutes. But the remaining 15 minutes, we intended to record outside, and unfortunately, with the little bit of a breeze and wind that was going on, the recorder picked up more of the wind and breeze than it did our conversation. So in editing here, trying to salvage whatever I can from the outside, but for the most part, this recording is going to be the inside part that we did, and we, you know, got a bit of information out and chit-chatted a bit with a friend here, Keith, and got into his head as to what it's like to be awake in a family of people who are still considered status and asleep. So that's going to be the show, what you're going to hear today. And before that, let me just throw out a couple of event announcements. Today is Monday, the 5th of October, when I'm actually laying this down, doing the edit. And so I have a meetup later on this evening, which really doesn't matter my announcing, because by the time this comes out, you're not going to be able to attend it. But I'm going to be at a there's a 9/11 screening over at ASU, so I'll be at that right in the next few hours. But this coming Sunday, October 11th, there is a documentary screening. Our monthly documentary screening is going on this coming Sunday, October 11th. So anyone in the Phoenix general area that listens to this, if you want to come out and join us, we'll be watching a documentary called Pink Ribbons, Inc., and this month of October being the Cancer Awareness Month, I stumbled across this film from, I think it's 2011, which addresses the business or monetization of the cancer research. And that's part of what all this pink and ribbons is all about, a bunch of corporations and businesses and everything associating with that cause, not necessarily to research and cure it, but for profit. So interesting documentary. Come out and join us for that. And I think that's about it for the meetups for now. Next year, April 15, 16, 17th, we have the Free Your Mind Conference. That's going to be number 4. And there are quite a bit of very interesting, good, popular speakers already announced. As always, we'll have Mark Passio and Bob Tuskin. Freeman will be speaking, and added this year, for this coming conference, Max Egan out of Australia will be speaking, as well as Jordan Maxwell. So got pretty good big hitters going to be in attendance speaking. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you can get more ticket information, speaker bios, and all that good information at freeyourmindconference.com. again, that's freeyourmindconference.com. And hopefully listeners here in Arizona, meetup members, if you get to hear this podcast, really, really consider putting aside a few dollars and coming out for that conference, because it's quite an experience being amongst people really like-minded and around that energy of freedom and liberty and truth. And that's a really good thing. So again, anyone out here, please consider attending us. That is announced on my meetup site. So let's see if we get together a group to head out to Philadelphia next year in April to represent Arizona and show that Arizona does have some awakened people. Because as far as the meetups go, you hear me say it all the time, we have hundreds of members, but attendance is very small. So what good is knowing this stuff or claiming to know this if we don't take some sort of action and actually do things with it? So, all right, with all that having been said, let's go ahead and I'll edit in the conversation and talk I had with Keith. And after that, I'll play another song to take us out, and I'll come back when after the little audio segment plays, and we'll take it from there. So enjoy my little talk with meetup member Keith, and I'll see you on the other side of this. I'm sitting here with meetup member Keith. I won't give any last name, so we won't get any little assassination attempts or anything for truth speakers over here. But Anyway, so we're sitting here in an undisclosed location in Arizona, just having a little chat with Keith, a member from one of the meetups, and people who have seen the YouTube video I uploaded about the raw footage of a lively Q&A with Mark Passio, June 7, 2015, would remember this young, kind of high-pitched voice young man, who brought his family members to the Mark Passio seminar, the Streetwise Spirituality Seminar, and which was a very good example of the work that we're up against, trying to free the minds of even loved ones, family members, and whatnot, who are set in this religion of statist mentality, statist thought, and whatnot. But anyway, so I'm sitting here with Keith, and we're just going to have a little chat and exchange ideas and catch up with whatever's been going on in his life and take it from there. So, Keith, thanks for joining me.
Ivan, thank you for having me. I am the official high-pitched guy from the seminar, so thank you for having me again. I really appreciate you putting that thing on, by the way. I still haven't convinced my parents to move anywhere from the left, but it's all right. You know, they're just slightly to the left of, like, Mao and Stalin, so eventually I'm still chipping away, though.
Okay. Well, I needed to refresh on that video. It's been a while since I had seen it, so I saw most of it on my way over here, and you finally got to watch it yourself, you said?
I did get to watch it, yeah.
Okay, all right. And so what did you think of that? You said it kind of brought up some post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, yeah, again. Yeah, I said I had PTSD from it. It kind of makes me think about what we should really focus on when, you know, when talking to someone like Mark, who has so much information, versus what we should talk about when we say, like when I meet a police officer or something. Like, we have a very small amount of time to deal with someone, so if we could really plan in advance and have, like, a good understanding of what our intentions are, I think it would be really beneficial to the anti-statist truth movement. So I think that's where I am. I had asked Mark, you know, things like how do you handle utilitarian objections. So yeah, I know taxation is force, but a police officer opened the door for me once. So doesn't government kind of benefit the people? So I thought his answer to that was pretty good. Yeah, basically, other than that, I'm really just focusing on how to deal with big subjects and really short amounts of time to communicate the message to others.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm taking away from what you're saying is that I try not to really take it upon myself to teach, to get into all the details, but more direct the people to the information, because the information is out there. And that's one thing that's a conclusion I've come to within, like, the last 6 months to a year of trying to teach people and get them to look at this information. Like, you need to learn this. And now it's just basically, you know what, there's some stuff that you definitely need to learn and know about, and here's where you can find it. Start at my website and look up all these different links that are on there, and it'll take you to stuff like, you know, What on Earth is Happening, Mark Passio sites, Gnostic Media, Jan Irvin site, David Icke's site, Michael Tessarian site, and so forth, because the information's already there, it's already packaged, and it's already set up. The only thing we really need to do is get the people to want to learn that. And that's one of the biggest problems, is to kind of convince people to want something that they need when they think they already know everything. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So yeah. That's one thing I think would ease your pain. I mean, because I sometimes go to bed restless, like, oh my God, why don't these freaking people see this? What the frick? It's like, wait. Just, there's only so much we can do, but we still got to do that, which is basically just, hey, there's stuff you need to learn. Hey, you need to learn. And then when they ask the question, well, like, what? Where can I find this? Ah, funny you should ask. Here's this book. Here's this video. Here's this website. And that's it. That's all we can do, because we can't learn for them, or we can't force them to learn. And that's part of, you know, I think some of the problems in some of the truth movement is that people are saying, no, I have the answers here, here, you need to learn this, here, 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 you need to learn this. No, don't worry about these people. Instead of just putting the information out there and letting people to use their critical analysis or have their own desire to learn, we're trying to do the same thing that government's been doing through the education system, indoctrination, forcing, learn this, learn this, learn this, learn this. And by the same token, some of the people in the truth movement or freedom movement are doing the same thing. You need to learn this. No, just if we really believe in freedom, say, look, this is stuff you should learn. It's up to you. Ask me the questions and I'll do my best to give you answers. But it's not up to us to force them. And that's what I kind of noticed a bit in the video, that despite being there 6 hours, your grandmother was still kind of, yeah, there's information here, but I know right from wrong already. And I'm like, no, wait. The purpose of this thing was to show you that there are things out there you need to learn. That was it. That's it. Just look, there's stuff out here. And I think I said that in the beginning before we started the video, that there's information here, whether don't believe everything you see here and don't reject it. Just take the information here. And when you go out into the regular world, see if it applies. And where it does apply, you know, to start learning. And that's it. That was basically it. But yet everything needed to be proved and you know, solidified right there. And that's what created that kind of nice little energy, which we experience every time. You got anything to add to that? What do you think about what I just put out there?
Yeah, you know, the reason I am less, you know, of a, well, here's where you can go, here's the information, is because the average person telling me that if politicians tell cops to do something, it's okay, that person isn't likely to be the same person to say, hold on, let me write that website down, let me write that book down. Most of these people, like when I talk to cops, these people have never read a book in their life. That they're just completely dead. I was just completely harassed last week by a cop. Mm. There really is just no talking to a large percentage of them. So I do kind of feel that, that sort of just kind of pointing them in the right direction, that isn't enough. I think if we are the ones to spark something in them, I think that's when they'll start being attracted to us. Mm. Or that's when they'll start opening their mind. So if I said to someone, or like the first lesson you learn as a kid when you say, this person told me to do it, and your parent says, well, if they told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it? You kind of learn already that just because someone tells you to do something doesn't mean you should. The problem is when people get older, they learn that if this group called the Congress group tells me to do something, well, then it's okay that I do it. So if we can get that, if we can just show them something like that, a prime example of how they're basically caught up in a system of complete contradictions, I think that is something more likely to bring them to open their mind, to look in towards basically abandoning the statist mentality. That would just be my final thought on that.
Yeah, okay, I hear you. I hear you. But I would counter with, no.
No, yeah, please, no, what, no, hey, absolutely.
I hear what you're saying. The thing is, though, I might come back and say, well, then it's a numbers thing, too. Because right now, yeah, we do need to teach this, but there's not enough of us teaching it. So we need more of the students to learn this. I don't know, I could see maybe what you're right on that aspect, yeah. But I guess we all have our different ways. See, I don't have this all down. I might mentally, I might have the information. I know I'm on in the right direction. I'm more of a generalist. I don't have all the details. I can't state all the U.S. codes and all this stuff. I can't state all the references of this is where, you know, this natural law is posted. All that. But I know that there's something wrong, and I know the direction that we need to go to get the right answer or how things should be. So that's the generalist in me. And maybe that's what I'm applying here with this, you know,
You got to shake the tree to see what shakes, what falls out. And whatever fruit falls out, there you go. You can't go to each individual fruit. Hi, you want to learn? No, I got to teach you. So, you know, that I think would be too much time consuming in this time when, you know, it feels to me like, and a lot of people, because now the Free Your Mind Conference is yearly, so they understand that time is of the essence. We need to get more people aware of this stuff. So I think that's kind of like the quickest way. Just keep shaking that tree and see what falls out. And what falls out, there you go. Those are the ones that now can go and shake other trees. So instead of going to each fruit and trying to, you know, focus on each individual, you got to just shake the general population and see which ones come tumbling out like, hey, okay, cool, look, this is what you need to learn this, and now go out and teach it. So it covers like more of a wider range instead of focusing, you being the one to focus, and oh, somebody else here needs to learn and focus. No, wait, you know what I'm saying? It's easier to bring out the ones that want to learn. They'll go out and learn instead of going and having to. I know Mark even said it in this thing about you need to keep pounding on people and harping on them and keep going and get other people to do it. But that's the part I'm focusing on, getting the other people to do it. So that's how I see it.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely kind of always trying to find the equilibrium between spending 100 hours on one person and spending 1 second on every person I run into. I'm definitely trying to find a better balance and see, and just talk to people to the point where I know where they're coming from. So like if you said, hey, you could read David Icke's Human Race, Get Off Your Knees book, which is a great title, by the way. There are some people that would be open to that. A lot of people, if they hear that name, they just start laughing and walk away. So yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, getting the word out there in larger numbers. Because I definitely think that the problem is not in Washington, D.C., or the problems in Israel or the Vatican, wherever people think it is. The problem is that we, the victims, imagine that those people have legitimate claims on our bodies and our property. So it is definitely getting it out to the masses. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. It's definitely something I will consider. What I was just proposing was having sort of like an arsenal of questions or basically analogies that you can use to kind of free someone's mind. Just something that will kind of give them a spark. In other words, whenever I get a book, I realize the ones I tend to buy are the ones that I learn something right by reading the back instead of getting like a vague understanding. So I feel like if we introduce ourselves to someone and we tell them something that is interesting or something they've never heard before and it intrigues them, I think that's what will likely make them returning customers, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So it's like bullet points. Have you know, 10 or 20 bullet points that if this one doesn't hook them, you know, catch their interest, then I can go to this, go to that. And after about halfway through, you're like, okay, these people are totally don't give a shit and there's no way of convincing them.
Or yeah, and I go to Arizona State University, so I'm just in the status swamp over there. And whenever it's my turn to talk in class or something, I will intentionally try to say something that really catches someone's attention. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got like 1 minute, what can I say? So like something in regards to, those people can move, or, well, it's okay that this happened to the Palestinians because their government did. And holding people responsible for something their government did. It's just so ridiculous that we have to be able to tap into that mindset in some way or another. So that's why I'm thinking of, you know, always having like a certain set of things to talk to, whether it's, you know, students or grandparents or police officers or people in the military. I mean, my dad and my brother were in the military, and we had a three-hour car ride the other day. Mm. And And just talking to them was just very eye opening. It made me think of that I should really map out, you know, how to communicate to these people, because basically what I think they hear is, Ivan, you've been tricked for the last 40 years of your life. You've totally fallen for it. And I'm a smart 19-year-old, and I'm telling you how to change. This is how you should be. I think that's what they hear, and I really want to get it to the point where I'm, you know, I'm listening to them, you know, as well as, you know, trying to communicate information to them. So that's why I feel like we also have a moral obligation to, you know, we as the doctors who have this medicine have a moral obligation to tell the people with the illness that, hey, this is the cure. Please take it, even though they're going to fight us to the death before they take it, voluntarily, of course. That's basically where I'm at. I've been kind of attracted to Austrian economics, the libertarian movement, and then I got into like anarchism and guys like Mark Passio recently. So I'm still learning the ropes. I'm definitely open to a new thing. So thank you again for bringing them to, or you know, giving me the shake in the tree analogy. That helps.
Yep. Well, because the answer does not lie in one person. Like, look at me. I'm going now by 8 years, and my little trigger was a audio CD that came with a book that I bought from Kevin Trudeau, Debt Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. So it came with a little audio CD, or just an hour CD, called 25 Secrets to Wealth Creation. So it's about making money or stuff, you know. But yet in there, he was breaking down principles and ways of thinking, and you know, he recommended certain books, and you know, just little things. It just was one little thread that I came across, and I started pulling on that thread. I went to the library, looked up some of these books, got some of the audio books, and then that led into like New Age kind of thinking, and got into like Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra, and did that for a little while, and then from there started like some Nassim Harriman and Greg Braden, and just little by little, you know, you just got to grab hold of one thread, and then you start pulling on it, and next thing you know, you're like, you know, pulling apart this whole sweater, and you never realize, like, oh my God, you thought it was just this one thing, it's just a sweater. But when you start pulling on that thread, you realize that one little thread is connected to everything, and it's all threads, it's all over the place. And yeah, so right now you're on Mark Passio, and who knows, you know, you're gonna probably come across a whole bunch of other people before you're, you know, everything's said and done, that right now you have no idea they exist. Even I'm coming across people right now that are still doing some good work and putting out podcasts out there. There's a what is his name? Timothy Kelly. He's got this podcast called Our Interesting Times, and he's had some good people on there, and I'm like, wow, I'm still learning. This other one called Alchemy Definitely. Radio with I forgot the gentleman's name. He's out of Ireland or something. But yeah, there's still stuff that we come across, and that's the problem when we kind of think we reached this the ceiling, you know, and we're like, oh, that's it, I know it all, I already did everything. No, that you think that's maybe the end of that one level, you know, now you just got to find a way to get past that glass ceiling or something, and like, oh wow, look, now I'm in a completely different room, and there's more to learn. And yeah, so it's a constant thing, and that's another thing I picked up was perfection. We think, oh, I know it all, it's perfect, that's it. No, we never really attain perfection. It's progress. We're constantly progressing. It's progress, not perfection. Because if we were perfection, then we would be healthy, we would know everything, there would be complete balance, harmony, everything would be fine. So perfection is kind of like, so it's a constant progress. That's what I would put out there.
I am constantly humbled by the things I hear, you know.
And you said you're what, 19?
I am, yeah.
See, when I was 19, what the heck was I doing? I was back at home in New York working as, you know, as a temp or something at a law firm as a messenger. I had no idea of all this stuff, you know, just school, high school, get a job, make money, and that's it, you know. That was it. No idea. So you at 19, you're well ahead of a lot of other, you know, people that now are in their 30s, 40s, 50s that are trying to put this out. So this is a progress. See, it is progression. Now there's a younger generation that's starting before a lot of us did, and your life is going to be completely different from mine because your eyes are open to how things are. So your choices, you have a better grasp of what you can and can't do, should and shouldn't do. Whereas me, I joined the Marine Corps at 20. So I did 4 years in there. Fortunate for me, I didn't have to see any combat or do anything, you know, any harm to anyone that I knew of right then and there. All we did was training the time that I was in. But see, had I known then what I know now, I would not have joined. That would have changed my life. See, mm-hmm. But now, like you said, you had two family members that are part of military. What are the chances of you joining the military now?
Oh, zero.
See, there's nothing about knowledge. And
yeah. Not to mention Mark again, but the very last video he put up was him talking about that, unfortunately, you know, as easy as it is to say Henry Kissinger is the problem, David Rockefeller is the problem, the people who keep the system of slavery existent are the order followers who mm-hmm. initiate aggression against nonviolent people and have that constant existing threat.
So, are you talking about the Free Your Mind 3 conference video? So you got to watch that?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And he said, so the number of people I've gotten to get out of the cult of order following, and I'm waiting, I'm like, he's probably gotten like 100 people. And he says, two. I've gotten two. So I'm like, oh shit, well, fuck, if he can't do anything.
This is the one that's teaching how to do this. He's only got two, imagine.
I know. But that definitely, you know, like we had said earlier, I'm constantly.
But you know what? That's him personally, because his information, if it got to your ears, or his information or related information got to your ears, and now you're kind of like military. Either I'm never going to do that, or that's the last thing I would do. So it has had an effect on you. So even though he personally. Yeah. Might have affected two people, it is a lot more than that that he doesn't know of, you know. Maybe he knows, he just doesn't want to say, you know.
All right, so how would you personally go about talking to someone in the cult of order following?
I'd make sure I'd have an escape plan.
Before they go
to throw the cuffs on or something. But you're right, I've thought about this. In the meetup group, I've had the intention to put together a meetup where we would have signs or some videos showing, you know, the mm-hmm. cause and effect. This is what order following leads to, and show like those pictures, Nazi Germany, all the dead bodies. These guys were just following, quote unquote, legal, lawful orders. And this is what it led to. So I would like to have a meetup group where, you know, meetup where we go to like armed forces recruiting places, like at the malls and stuff. And spend a few hours out there as, you know, guys are going in and out, and have these signs and videos and interact with that. But is it going to be that easy that we can just go there and do this, and they're going to be like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, really? Wow, that's fascinating. We never thought of this, you know. Are they going to be that open, or mm-hmm. are we going to start getting mall security and police showing up? Hey, you can't do this, and push us away. And here's the other mm-hmm. thing. How many people, if it's just to get information out, at the meetups, I average maybe 5 to 10 people just to learn. Imagine actually going out and doing something where, you know, there might be a risk that we might have to interact with police and either be, you know, taken away or something. See, that's what I consider that, you know what, we're not ready for that yet, because to do something like that, it would be good to have maybe, you know, 20, 30 people there, a good group that we all have each other's back, and we know we're on the same level, we all know what's going on, what the intention is, and what the repercussions might be, and be ready for that. But I can't announce that meetup yet, because I know it'll only be maybe 2, 3, 4 of us there, that the police, they just, you know, show up with about 8 or 9 and just pull these guys out of these
jokes. I know.
See, so that's the thing. You got to watch.
Make sure you're handing the cops the information.
But that's the thing about, you know, cosmic being or something like that. Spiritual being or something. I forgot the actual term that Mark used, but your head's in the clouds, but your feet are here on the earth. Yeah, the feet on the earth would be to go and actually do that. But my mind, I'm also aware that, you know what? I understand the reality that these people aren't ready for this, and it does take numbers, and you have to be ready for this. So I can't just do it on a whim. Let's show up over here. Okay. And just next thing you know, we're being hauled away. See, so that's my problem. But yeah.
Well, if you were walking through, say, the main campus on like ASU or something, and you saw a stand, do you think people would be more likely to be attracted to something that had like a group of people there?
What or do you mean, some table?
If someone had a table, a bunch of flyers, and a list of books, videos, movies, and articles to read.
That can work. Stuff like that can be done. Yeah, that can work.
Yeah.
Because it's out there, mm-hmm. and yeah, it could spark some curiosity. What's this about? And if they ask questions, then again, that's where one's knowledge, one's grasp of that knowledge, and one's ability to communicate it. You know, like you said, yeah. I agree with what you were saying about like the bullet points. I haven't worked on that yet. I have all this stuff. It's, mm-hmm. you know, jumbled up in my head. Like, yeah, I know. And if I try and filter it down, mm-hmm. Maybe I can't get it to come out where I can speak eloquently and say, you know, the proper, I can't really do that. I need to work on myself to do that. But what I am doing, I have the meetup going, bringing people to information, whoever will show up, have the website going, whoever goes to the website accesses that. So at least I know that way, that's partially where my skill is at, or where my strengths are at, is that. Whereas there might be people that they can talk a good talk and present this information, and they might not be computer literate. They can't do a website. You know, they might not have the funds to put together a meetup, or, you know, so
sure.
We all have our strong points. And yeah, it's difficult. It's frustrating too that, you know, yeah, in a movement for freedom and liberty and truth, that we don't have a cookie cutter that everybody is capable. They can market,
exactly,
they can
yeah.
speak, they can research, they can do technical stuff. Mm-hmm. No, but that's the beauty of it, because that shows why we all need each other. We're all connected. See, and that's one of my weaknesses now with the meetup, like that Mark Passio seminar that you attended. It was maybe only about 10, 11 people there. I did the best I could do through the meetups, through Facebook, handing out flyers. But I didn't have anyone assisting with that meetup that was maybe good in marketing or promoting, that could have done other stuff to really get it out there. See, so that's part of, you know, I'm missing wheels here. Right now, it's just like either a unicycle. I'm just pedaling and trying to find at least a bicycle, someone else or others to do that. And I've put out the word. I've sent out emails once in a while, like maybe once every 6 months to a year. Send out emails. Hey, anybody have any ideas, interested in assisting? Da 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 da. And that's part of the problem, is that, yeah, there are people, oh, yeah, we know. Okay, next level. What are you doing? Get with others. And you know, so that's, I don't know where I was going with that, but that's part of the answer.
I think part of the problem is that
we expect, well, you should be able to present, market, do everything. And it's like, look, well, Mark Passio is almost pretty much doing that all by himself. People like maybe Yann Irvin's doing that by himself, or Stefan Molyneux's doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a few that can do everything on their own. But we're not all like that. Mm-hmm. We all have strengths and weaknesses, and that's just our strengths and weaknesses, let alone learning and mastering the information that we're supposed to learn. And, you know, so there's a lot of variables there too. So
absolutely. Yeah. You know, it, the hardest thing is that the costs are so direct and narrowly isolated. Mm-hmm. So you have to bear the cost of, you know, renting the place at the hotel, getting a microphone, getting, you know, downloading the DVD, and then just crossing your fingers that people show up. Mm-hmm. So the benefits are very slim, and the costs are so focused. So, you know, again, obviously everything you've done, the website for Your Mind AZ, I think, is absolutely terrific. Everything you have on there is wonderful. I'm definitely looking for my competitive or my comparative advantage in the movement, and maybe it's joining the meetup group, maybe it's a hundred other things, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But hopefully having conversations like these, I will try to find my niche, thus allocating my time as well as I can.
You know what, because you're a very bright kid. And I can say kid. I'm like 45, so I'm twice your age.
Oh,
I'm 45, you're 19, so you're a very bright young man. You articulate, you can, you know, you're sharp, you're on there, you have these questions, you bring out some words, I don't even know. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? But hey, see, so that's part of it. There's the basic knowledge, a general idea, and older folks might have this. And for younger people to come and throw their little spice on it, you know, that's a good thing. That's what's needed, and that's what needs to continue. And maybe your frustration could be that you know this stuff and you're trying to get it out too, but you don't have Maybe you haven't grasped the concept or the fact of time.
Sometimes someone has told me once or twice before I've gotten that.
You know what? I picked up on this last night. It really rung for me. I forgot what I was watching. It was either a movie or TV show or something that it really emphasized that about time. What the heck was I watching? I saw something. Is it something in the movies? What's in the movies right now? I saw something in the theaters. What's the new movie?
Straight Outta Compton.
I did see that one. Actually, podcast number 8 was with Lennon Honor, and he was doing a critical analysis on that film.
I will definitely watch podcast number 8 then.
Listen to all of them. Yeah, and then I had Mark Devlin on number 9. But what the heck did I watch last night? Is a new movie. Oh, Martians. The Martian. The new movie with Matt Damon. And you know what? Tomorrow, I don't know when this will be online, but here in the next day or two, I'm going to do another podcast. I'm going to have this guy called Douglas Martin, and he's kind of up and coming. I can say that, up and coming. Yeah. He was at the Free Your Mind 3 conference, and he has a lot of knowledge, and he knows what's going on too. And he's been on quite a few other podcasts, the Free Your Mind podcast done by Bill Church out of Seattle somewhere, or Washington State, Oregon. But there are other people starting to put the word out, and this one guy, Douglas Martin, he's been on a few shows, and I'm going to have him on, and we're going to talk movies and messages and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, getting back to my point about time in the movie The Martian, I liked how I picked up on they want to rescue this guy that's on Mars. Quick, go get him, whatever. But yet, time. It takes time to get up there. They have to calculate, you know, he has to calculate how much food he needs to last so much time. See, people like us right here and today, we think, let me call Domino's, 20 minutes or less. Boom, boom, that quick. That's happened to me at work. I've told a coworker several times over the last couple of years, Mark Passio, information, this, and we had a lunch together, and I brought out the laptop. And I started playing just one of his little 15-minute videos on scarcity and stuff that he did a few years ago. And this lady, after a minute, she was already, her knee was shaking, going up and down. And she was doing that little motion like, come on, get to it. Just a little 15-minute video. She wanted answers, solutions, quick, on the spot right there. That's part of the problem too, that time thing. Because a lot of this, the solutions lay in time. It could happen exactly. Quick.
Yeah.
It could happen quick if everybody picks up on it real quick. Like, hey, great. Mm-hmm. But the reality of the situation is that time, the answer lays, part of the variable is time. And, you know, you're young and it's going to take time. And hopefully, I would like to say that within your lifetime, you can see some positive change. And hopefully we will, you know, by the time I'm going out, you'll be, you know, like, hey, we're in the, but we never know. But anyway, I just want to throw it out there about time, because I noticed that's another thing with the youth today, that conditioning has been quick. Send a text. I want to reply right away. You know, log on the internet. Quick, hurry up. You know, and I remember the dial-up, the little 56K.
The dial-up,
the little screeching on the phone. Hey, a little download of one song took about half hour, you know, so understanding time. And that's that's part of the another variable. So, okay, enough about this time thing.
In regards to, the big picture being so far away, I was kind of thinking of, you know, what can I do today? Or what can I change about myself first? Because, you know, obviously I could talk about how much I hate the police and military for hours, but people who vote and just all the status garbage, but I think we will benefit more from first critiquing ourselves. And I think the one thing we can do, and this is a method that was highly critiqued. Joe Rogan gave Stefan Molyneux a lot of heat for doing this, but Stefan said that if you're a black guy, you probably shouldn't hang out with people in the KKK who are against you. If you're a Jew, you probably shouldn't hang out with a Nazi, because these people believe in acting violently against you most of the time. So for you to surround yourself with statists and tell statists that it's okay, no matter what you support, I'll always be in your life. I think we are feeding the fire that really is, you know, it is the, you know, shadow of the statue of authority. And it's our saying, hey, it's okay that you condone violence. Obviously, you know, you can't call up your, hey, are you still a statist? Never talk to me again. Bye. but like for 2 years, I've talked to my dad about the ideas of like libertarianism, and it's 2 years of someone who is just, you know, knee deep in it, like myself. So he's had this and he hasn't moved an inch basically. So the other day we were visiting his stepdad in Sedona, and he said, hey, do you want to stay over for an extended period of time? And I said, no, because I'm not going to hang out with someone who believes in initiating violence against me for a long period of time. And that in 2 years, I hadn't seen him show any emotion towards any political argument. But when I said that to him, that's what really hit him. And it's not like I had to like step on my tippy toes. I was just so sick of it because he openly condones it. You know, he defends murdering when it's this group of people called the Congress group that's doing the murdering, or when the guy named Barack sends drones, it's perfectly okay. When you condone that, eventually you're going to stop feeling a connection with that person, and that's when you'll feel free. I think that's when I've noticed a difference. Rather, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm totally free now, and I've reached the top. Obviously, like I said, I'm constantly being humbled by new things. But that's when I felt the difference. When I felt no positive obligations to other people, that's what really changed me. And secondly, when I recognized that I deserve to be around people that don't initiate violence. I don't deserve, you know, everyone to work for me or anything, and anyone to do positive things. But as far as negative rights go, if I'm hanging around someone that after 2 years has come to the conclusion they still want to initiate violence against me, that's someone I can't be around, that person. And that's when you'll not only free yourself and, you know, take the strains off you and totally, you know, get all the stress off you, you're really showing that you are a different person, that you have, you know, awakened to the enlightenment. Well, not to use enlightenment, but I think that's how we can differentiate ourselves, and that's what we can do now instead of being discouraged by all the time in the future, or, you know, we'll sooner save Matt Damon from Mars than convince people the Democrats and Republicans are the same. Mm. So I think if I could, you know, bring anything to the table, that's what I would recommend. I'm open to critiques or anything, or if there's anything you have to add to that.
You're open to critiques. See what I mean? You're so... I'm speaking almost to a politician here. You're so clean cut, and you're like,
hey, where I draw the line.
That's an insult. How dare I?
You know, it's so funny. I was Ron Paul. Without him, I would still be just in the grave of statism. And just comparing him to Rand Paul, it's like day and night. You know, I watch guys like Stefan Molyneux, guys like Larkin Rose. And then I'll see a Rand Paul 13-minute speech, and after 4 minutes, I couldn't even look at the screen. It's just, it's so fake that, I mean, the fact that we can watch Family Guy and know it's a joke, that's okay because we know that that's not real. But the fact that you're watching this guy on the Congress floor, on the floor of Congress, and people think it's real, people think it's legit, people think that's where things get done, that this is the virtue, this is what we work through in the mechanism of life. The fact that people think that is so mentally insulting, just openly doing it on a mass scale, or the amount of, look at Obama's logical fallacy speech, where a logical fallacy pops up every time he says something. And it's just a punch in the face, every State of the Union address, that whenever I see things like that, I recognize how far my consciousness has come, And it has thus openly opened me to a to being much more open-minded.
Okay, at this point, the recording now goes outside, and instead of trying to edit it down, I'm going to let it play through. So just for your awareness, there is good information here, so I'm just going to let it play through. Just be aware that there's going to be segments where there's some breeze or wind that kind of takes over and muffles us, so you can't really hear what we're saying. But if you're really interested in the information, just keep listening through, and there will be little pockets where it clears up and you can hear the discussion we were having. And if not, then just fast forward for 15 minutes and that'll get you to the end, and just to hear the closing statements and the last song. So hopefully this helps in keeping this worth listening. All right, so here it is, the second part of this outside with wind and breeze and all the sound effects. All right, enjoy. All right, well, we had to vacate the room we were in, so now we're outside in nature somewhat, fake nature maybe, but we'll continue the rest of the talk here. All right, I just wanted to come back to something you said about if I had any critiques about what you were saying. I agree with what you're saying. I can see where you're coming from about, you know, confronting like your father, like, nope, I can't talk to you anymore, be around you, whatever, because of this, and cutting that tie, you know, and that kind of right there, that, you know, sends that point, you know, right dead on, like, look, what you're doing is wrong, and I'm not going to be a kind of enabler, basically, you know, hang around. I understand that. That's true. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What I personally see, if that starts happening all over the place, there's has to be that separation, either call it good versus bad, right versus wrong, and you know, maybe it has to be that black and white. It can't be that gray area, you know, that, you know, this group over here knows what's right and wrong, and they're gonna stick on right, whereas this group over here needs to learn, and maybe, you know, that's it. But my question comes then, if this whole side over here knows right and this whole side over here is inclined to be on wrong, who among the wrong, quote unquote wrong people, is going to figure out what's right, and, you know, for them to learn it, if it leads to a division, and you got the camp over here of people like you and me, and, you know, we know what's going on and whatever, and we disassociate by choice or by the other people's choice from them, where are they going to get their knowledge now if they just stay in their status ways, if they just stay in their beliefs?
People bringing them water stop bringing them water, aren't
they
going to
drink?
Sure.
Yeah. See, so that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely, it sounds like, you know, when this, you know, process of defooing is promoted, it kind of sounds like we're talking about immediate solutions or anything. And I don't know, you know, obviously there's not a special magic number of the amount of time you spend on someone before you never talk to them again. I think we can definitely do it more gradually. But I think it is important to say that we are not on the same level as...
Stand our ground?
Yeah. I mean, do you think you're a better person than a rapist? Oh, so you want to separate yourself from the rapist? Oh, so you're different than them? At some point, we have to say, absolutely, of course, we're better than them. Because of X, Y, Z. Because we do not believe in initiating violence on non-aggressors, and that is why we are better. I'm always open to always talking to people about things. So like my sister's another example.
Let's go to that rapist. But if yeah, how would that rapist know what he's doing is wrong? How would that, you know what I'm saying? How
Oh, yeah. If people alienate themselves, yeah. Oh, you're a rapist, you're about to have it put away.
So what you should, what I personally think, is what I should talk to if I'm ever talking to a rapist is the only topic I'll really care about is the morality of forcing yourself on others, the morality of forcing people to sleep with you when they don't want to. I would focus on principles of basically self-ownership, and that's what I would. I'm not saying don't talk to these people if they don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you should only talk to them about things that are really important. So yes, mm-hmm. I'll always try to save someone from statism. I don't think I'll ever give up on that.
But, I see. But
what I'm not going to talk about.
Don't go out and watch a ball game and have a beer with the rapist, yeah, because hey, that subject is
touchy. I'm not going to talk sports yeah. with a guy who believes in, you know, forcing himself on others in basically any way. That's what we're going to talk about. So the idea that, you know, I know we disagree. I believe in force. You believe in voluntarism. Let's forget about it and let's go to the movie. Hey, isn't the weather nice out today? Mm-hmm. I think that's where we need to stop. And we need to say, okay, before this relationship continues, I need to know if you respect me enough to recognize that I own myself and you have no right to initiate aggression on me. And then we can do whatever. We can do sports. We could, talk about love. We can talk about books. We can talk about, you know, the consciousness. We can talk about anything. But first things first, are you ever going to force yourself against me? And are you going to condone it when others force themselves against me? So are you going to clap when the police come and kidnap me for putting a certain powder in my nose or smoking a certain plant? What are you going to do? Are you going to, every 4 years, when they give you a chance to ignore them and tell them, I don't care about you, are you going to vote? Are you going to voluntarily participate in this organization? And if so, then that's what needs to be on the table, and that's what we need to talk about first. So that is what I think we can first free ourselves and stop worrying about. The only time I'll ever make a difference is if the U.S. Government gives up its arms and our military bases come home. I think that is so long-term that we first need to focus on ourselves and only surrounding ourselves and putting our feelings and our emotions and our relationships into other people who believe in nonviolence.
Damn. Okay, I don't know where to go from here. You stumped me.
Oh, no. This is good.
I mean, this is like I said, I'm at ASU,
so I've been holding this in for 19 years. It's so good to finally exhale.
That's it. That's good. Okay. And you need to do your own little podcast, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's something you can do.
Well, I can't take all of the, I can't take all the credit. You know, obviously, I had mentioned Stefan Molyneux, who was the first person to bring this up, and I noticed it when Joe Rogan and someone from the Young Turks said, so this guy Stefan says you shouldn't hang out with people and people should leave their families if they don't agree with them. Oh, this guy's ridiculous. And I said, something tells me I'm not getting the whole story. And that is what originally opened my mind to it. So I'm not as original as I like to appear, but
no, I'm not talking about the originality. I'm talking about how you can communicate yourself. See, you didn't stumble over your words. You weren't like you knew what you were gonna say. You knew how to say it, and you put it out there. You articulated very well, and that's what I mean. That you're young. Your mind is working still properly. It's not bogged down like a lot of us. You're from what I can see, you're pretty sharp, and that's good. That's what's needed, is sharp people. And you know what, you're teaching me too, because now you made me realize that I'm kind of doing the same thing that you're talking about now. Because at work, I don't really socialize with too many people at work, and when I do, 9 times out of 10 it's either gonna be about current events, my website, disinformation. I'm rarely talking with coworkers about, did you see the game last night? What about last night's episode of, so-and-so, whatever? You know, I'm rarely talking like that, and I'm basically keeping myself. So, in a way, I think I'm doing like what
know, go out, have some beers after work and social. No, I'm quiet, and sometimes I bring up this information to them and start there. And if they're put off by it and whatever, I'm like, okay, well, that's it, done. You know, and there are a few people that I bring in DVDs and CDs and give them to them and spark conversations, and they run with it, and okay, and we're good, and still keep conversation that way. That's what we talk about. So I think, yeah, in a way, I am doing what you talked about, and maybe, you know,
yeah.
I just don't see myself doing it much with family because I'm away from my family. Everybody's back east. I'm here in Arizona basically by myself and just me and my son. So when it comes to family, even with my son, that's what we talk about most of the time also. Yeah. It's like, Dad, you're still doing your podcast. Dad, you still got your website. Dad, you're still listening to that Mark Passio guy. So at least he knows what's going on and what Dad's doing and what Dad's trying to, you know, get sure. him to pick yeah. up on. Because whenever he's in my car, that's what we're listening to. I have either the conscientious music, Mark Devlin's Sound of Freedom, or his Good Vibrations, or some podcasts on. So at least that's there with my son, and that's it as far as family. And then the other stuff is either meet up with like-minded people, quote-unquote like-minded people, or my coworkers. So I don't have that same interaction like you do, that you have your mother, grandmother, other family members around. So yeah, I'm at a disadvantage to be able to critique, you know, what you might be going through. Have a good head on your shoulders, and you know, it seems like you're doing good. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to throw out there.
Oh, and yeah, and I'm not saying it's so easy. Everyone who's listening to this could cut out status in your life. Because when I tell you it's yep. hard, it's so extremely difficult. You know, there's studies about people who are ostracized experience the same amount of pain as physical torture. People who are when everyone in a classroom, whenever, especially I'm in senior classes, so when I have a bunch of people older than me, plus the teacher looking at me with a blank face, like, what did he just say? It's so difficult to be that person, but at some point you have to be willing to communicate, especially when I have an audience like that, when I'm inside of a classroom. I think we have to be willing to say, are we going to be part of the group that really gets the word out there, or are we going to sit on this information? Are we going to tell the guy that a train's coming and he's on the tracks? I don't think we should just sit on our hands with this. But when you do come out and say, hey, the government that you've been pledging your allegiance to for 12 years is funded by force and is responsible for more deaths than occurred in the Holocaust, or you know, just ask them something. So if you're worried about Americans dying on 9/11 and there were 3,000, and the government's response was 8,000 people killed in Iraq and Afghanistan plus $3 trillion, how are you going to defend that? If you're going to associate with those people and you can't bring that up and you can't have them recognize something like that, or they don't even have an answer to it. They want to steal, they want to kill, and they don't want to have an answer for it. It's the ultimate evil. So I think these are definitely things, and the hardest part is people just being shocked at how different you are. It's like, look, we're trying to have a Democrat-Republican conversation. Don't talk about that. That's something so different. That's a million years away. Let's just talk about what's relevant. It's very difficult to be that person. So I would still ask you to consider, you know, only really giving your emotions and your feelings with someone, and surrounding yourself with people who also believe in nonviolence. But it's rough, man, let me tell you.
Yep. Oh, well, all right. I think we're pretty much close to the end here. I can't think of anything else to bring up. So, you have anything you'd like to wrap up with? Any last words of wisdom or something? Or
nothing for me. I think that's all I got available today. I write a small blog on academia.edu. Keith Knight. I just have a picture of a philosopher up there, And those are just small contributions I have to the field of political thought. That's just my attempt to speak to people who are in the Democrat-Republican conversation. I'm trying to expose to them that I'm it's kind of like a stool where all three legs are equally apart. I mean, to show them that I'm not really on one side. I really am different than both of them. But there is another way. So yeah, academia.edu is where a lot of my stuff is. And I want to thank you for, you know, obviously setting up Free Your Mind AZ, that website, doing the meetup group, and thanking you, Ivan, for everything you've done. Other than that, I got nothing else for you guys. Thank you again for having me.
That was more than enough, man. Great. All right. So if anything else, I'll be looking forward to maybe seeing you at a future meetup.
Absolutely.
Sometime. And as far as everyone else goes, thanks for listening. Let me see. I think that should be about it. Yep. So this concludes episode number 10 of Guy Next Door Speaks. And as always, depending what time of the day you're listening to, could be morning, evening, or night. Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. Be well.
Taking us out will be Elias Clay again, and this time with the song called Wake 'Em Up.
Be right over, and we can smoke some, we can sniff some, we can and pretend it never happened. I'll be ready, she might let me. I gotta have money, gotta be sexy. Say the radio and the TV on the daily, distorting our reality. To be honest with you, I don't really know how gonna change this, but we have to be honest with you, we could change it right now if we stop this, but we're moving backwards. To be honest with you, I don't really know how we're gonna change this, but we have to be honest with you, we could change it right now if we stop this, but we're moving backwards. Wake 'em up, 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 wake 'em, wake 'em up now. Wake 'em up, 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 wake 'em, wake 'em up now. Wake 'em up, 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 wake 'em, wake 'em up now. Exhale, when we walk around breathing in the chemtrails. There's a system trying to poison, slowly altering the girls and the boys. And the whole nation has been raised in a lifetime of indoctrination. Invisible chains round our ankles. It's about time we wake up and say no.